Last time we were together, we began to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, long-suffering. And that's where I want to begin today. In just a moment, we'll finish out the fruit of the Holy Spirit, long-suffering. And then, as time permits, move on to the next one, gentleness. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to open up thy very words. We pray the indwelling Holy Spirit would be our guide and teacher today. Father, we pray that you'd bless the listener. Bless the saint of God. Help them to be built up in the things of the faith. And if there's a lost soul today that's never trusted Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven when they die. We pray that this be the very day that they call from a heart of faith, believing in their heart, by faith, that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And Father, we just pray, we commit this time into thy hand, we ask that you have your will and your way in our hearts and our minds today. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just a quick review. Last time we began looking at the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. And we asked, why is long-suffering considered a fruit of the Holy Spirit? And we saw, number one, it began because long-suffering begins with God. Because it is found in the Bibles. We looked at many examples, just really skimmed the surface of where long-suffering and patience is mentioned in the examples that it's given us. And then we began to look at point number three, because it is the opposite of all that is ungodly. And we saw how God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why he's holding back his wrath. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He's giving them ample opportunity to be saved. But as we know, when the tribulation comes, his wrath will be poured out on this earth. And then under this, we said, how can we be long-suffering? Well, we have the greatest example of long-suffering. That was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we began to look at 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 20 to 25. In verse 20 we read, the words of God say, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And last time I commented on these two verses. And now what it's going to show us is Christ's example of long-suffering, and how he long suffered, and how we are to follow his example. Verse 22. Who did no sin. We know that Jesus Christ was sinless, even though he was God and man, but he was sinless. God needed a sinless sacrifice. Amen. To pay for the sins of mankind. And then it says, neither was guile found in his mouth. Any time he spoke, it was the truth. It was never a lie. It wasn't a half-truth. You could believe what he said. So here we see a sinless man who spoke only the truth. So it sets us up for what's next. You see, there was nothing, no one could find fault with him. There was nothing that you could find fault in him to bring charges again, to have him put to death. He was faultless. He was sinless. He spoke only the truth. But what happened? Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, amen, they spoke out vehemently against him. They said all kinds of wicked, false things about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that were untrue. But how did he act when they reviled him? Well, how did he respond? Look at what it says. Reviled not again. He didn't retaliate. He was long-suffering. Amen. He was patient. See? He didn't quickly go to punish them. He wasn't angry. He showed them mercy. Amen. When he suffered, he threatened not. When they beat him and they spat upon him, put that crown of thorns on his head, slapped him in the face, he threatened not. He didn't say a word. He was quiet. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who was that? His Father, God the Father. He committed himself to God the Father because he knew that God the Father would make things right. And in knowing that, he was able to take all that he took patiently. Amen. Because he knew that God the Father would make things right. Because God the Father judges righteously. Unlike the earthly judges that judged our Lord and Savior unrighteously and wrongly. It goes on in verse 24. Again, we're looking at Christ as our example of long-suffering. We're to follow in his steps. Verse 24. For his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Who his own self bare, not his sins, because he was sinless. We were told that. He spoke only the truth. Who his own self bare our sins. You listening today, that means you, that means me. Christ bore your sins and my sins on that cross. That we being dead to sins, we were dead. Before you're born again and saved, you're dead in trespasses and sin. You have a dead spirit. And only Jesus Christ, your faith and belief in him, and what he did on that cross at Calvary and shedding his precious blood, can make that spirit born again. By the indwelling Holy Spirit. That we being dead to our sins, that was our condition, should live unto righteousness. See, before that, you and I could not live unto righteousness. So God the Father made a way that you and I who were dead in our sins could live righteously. The cost was the sacrifice of his Son, who had to come and bear our sins in his own body on that cruel cross. Then it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Ye were healed of your sin-sick condition, my friend. That's right. Verse 25, for you ye were as sheep going astray. That's how we were, going our way, wanting nothing with God, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Jesus Christ has reconciled us with God the Father through his sacrifice, through his shed blood at Calvary, my friend. This is the example that you and I to follow for being long-suffering. You know, people say, I don't know how you put up with that. I just can't figure out for the life of me how you can let that person say that about you and not bother you. Well, the truth is, it bothers a lot of us what people say. But it's only this fruit of the Holy Spirit, this long-suffering, this self-restraint in the face of provocation, this lack of hasty retaliation that keeps us from getting back. Jesus said, revenge is mine. And if revenge is his, my friend, then let him have it. Again, we say, why is long-suffering? Amen. A fruit of the Holy Spirit. We saw, because it begins with God, because it's found in the Bible, because it is the opposite of all of that is ungodly. So how can you and I be long-suffering? First of all, as we mentioned before, follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Secondly, remember that revenge belongs to the Lord and not you. Thirdly, understand that it is not you they hate, but Jesus. And fourthly, be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Word of God. And this will produce long-suffering in your life. Once again, we see that long-suffering as a fruit of the Holy Spirit is the byproduct of the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your life. Today, few people have enough patience to even exist in our society. Look, for example, of all the cases of road rage. If there were a people who needed the long-suffering of God, it is Christians today. Long-suffering is a guarantee that you will be able to bear up under any persecution that may come your way. This fruit, as with the peace of God, is manifested because of our submission to God's will in our lives. We do not think it is fair that God should allow us to suffer through hard times, but hard times are a fact of life. The only thing that can get us through the hard times and keep us from acting and reacting foolishly is the fruit of the Holy Spirit known as long-suffering. So that was long-suffering. The next fruit that we want to examine of the Holy Spirit is gentleness. What exactly is gentleness? Gentleness means a kindness of the heart that produces kind acts. Why is gentleness included as part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Because gentleness, like the other fruit, begins with God. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6 with me, Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. It says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. See? Good acts here. It's talking about love your enemies. You can only love your enemies through that fruit of the gentleness that the Holy Spirit produces in your life and my life as we're yielded to him on a daily basis. Amen. We see then that God is gentle or kind as the word is used here in this verse. Now turn with me to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Romans 11, verse 22, the words of God say this: Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And here he is speaking about the goodness, the gentleness, God's goodness and gentleness in his relation to the Gentile. Amen. And then we see in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 with me. We read this: Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance, amen, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. See? It's because of God's gentleness, his goodness, amen, and he displays that those characteristics through us, through that Holy Spirit that leadeth men to repentance. See? Once again, the Lord is our example. See? Of how to be gentle. Amen. How to be kind. How to produce acts of kindness. Because of that, he deals with people. He wants to see them saved. He doesn't want to see them perish. Why is gentleness included as part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Because we are not born that way. Look at in Romans chapter 3, verse 12. They that are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. None of us are good. None of us are gentle. See, no one is born gentle and good. No one has a gentle or good nature. No one has a natural tendency to be gentle. Gentleness is against our nature. You see, you cannot produce gentleness in your flesh. You can't. You see, my dear friend, gentleness is the fruit of the one who indwells you and indwells me as believers. Jesus Christ made it clear we can do nothing without him. Looking in John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, notice with me what the words of God say here in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Here it is: for without me ye can do nothing. You cannot produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit without the Spirit of Christ indwelling you, amen, that Holy Spirit. And you cannot produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit unless you are yielded and come under the influence, control of that Holy Spirit each and every day, my friend. The third thing we want to see about gentleness is when you get saved, You can learn to be gentle. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. See? Gentleness. Gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit is the outgrowth of His indwelling, my friend. Without the Holy Spirit's indwelling, you have not the ability to be kind and gentle. Amen. We see that example of Jesus Christ, how He was kind and gentle. Whenever He looked upon the crowd, He had compassion upon them. He was gentle. He was kind in dealing with the individual. He was harsh in dealing with religious leaders because they should have known better. Now, the thing about gentleness is to be displayed in three directions. First of all, towards the lost. And we saw earlier in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 4, we'll read the verse again. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and the long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, we're to be gentle and display that fruit of gentleness towards the lost. We're to deal with them in gentleness, in a kind manner. And according to the Word of God, and when you're dealing with someone like that, it leadeth them to repentance. That's how God deals with individuals, in gentleness, in goodness. We also need to display gentleness not only toward the lost, but towards our enemies. Towards our enemies. Earlier in the study here on gentleness, we saw in Luke chapter 6, in verse 35, we read this. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. See that? He is kind. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And that's what He wants us to be. Kind, amen, to the sinner, to the lost, to our enemies. And then, gentleness is to be displayed not only toward the lost, not only towards our enemies, but also toward fellow believers. Looking in Ephesians chapter 4 with me, in verse 32, we read this. And be ye kind one to another. Same thing, gentle, gentleness. Amen. Kind, gentleness. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See that? We're to be gentle, display gentleness towards our fellow believer. No matter how much they may get under your skin or do you wrong, we're to forgive them and act towards them in gentleness. Because if Christ could forgive us, we should be able to forgive our fellow believer and display towards them gentleness. Notice with me in 1 John, 1 Epistle of John, chapter 4. 1 Epistle of John, chapter 4, in verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. Because Jesus was kind and gentle, this is how we are to be. Just as, because as He is, so as are we in the world. That's how He was when He walked this earth, kind and gentle. That's how we are to be, kind and gentle. But again, we can only produce the fruit of gentleness, as all the other nine fruit of the Holy Spirit, as we are yielded and come under the control of the Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us as believers. See, all of these fruits we've been discussing are counter to how we are, how we're born, how we're brought into this world. See, gentleness is contrary to the way we are. And the only hope is to allow the Holy Spirit to produce gentleness in your life. This in and of itself would cure violence in our homes. That's right. If all would be yielded to the Holy Spirit and produce gentleness, see, this would cure all the violence that we read about in our homes, even in the homes of Christians. This alone would cure the unkindness found in our churches, from the pew to the pulpit. See, there's a lot of unkindness that goes on in our churches today, from the pastor to those sitting in the pew. And this shouldn't be so. Amen. Because if we're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you and I as believers, then we will act kind and gentle towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. See? But if you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit, you'll not be gentle. Isn't it amazing? It all comes back to who is in charge of your life, doesn't it? If you are in charge, you will manifest the works and fruit of your flesh. As the words of Almighty God say, now the works of the flesh are manifest, are revealed, are displayed outwardly for others to see, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. These are the things you will produce. These are the works that you will manifest if you're yielded to your sinful, wicked flesh. If you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, He will manifest His fruit. Again, as we read in the Word of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My friend, as we conclude today, if you're controlled by hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, and strife, there'll be no room for gentleness. Well, that concludes our study today. We finished up our study on long-suffering, the fruit of long-suffering, and gentleness. Next time we come together, we'll continue our study in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll join us. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.